This is Matt Wells at UN News in New York. On-screen celebrity and designer Kevin MacLeod visited the UN in Geneva on Thursday to spotlight a flagship UN event to promote sustainable housing for all. In an interview with UN News, Mr. MacLeod, who's from the UK, talks about some of the unusual things that have inspired his design sense, including an Indian slum and tea drinking in the street. Daniel Johnson began by asking him if it was true his father had his own unusual professional background as a rocket tester.
Yeah, he was. He very proudly said that rocket science was very simple. Other people built rockets and he tested them to destruction, which is a far more complicated job. Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, that's just an aside, really. You're here at the Palais des Nations to take part in the 79th session of the Committee on Housing and Land Management towards Sustainable Urban Development in the UNECE region. So the aim is to align it with the agenda on sustainable development. Can you tell me about what the key message is of your talk today at the UNECE?
Yeah, it's plant more trees. It sort of is plant more trees. I'm sort of here undercover almost because I'm a developer. I make television programs as well, but I build housing schemes. I've been doing that for 10 years. So my business is very, very locked into this idea of how we build not just wonderful architecture, but great places, communities, and make them sustainable. And we, from an early point, began to realize that public realm, the spaces in between buildings, is where it matters. So you can build as many eco-houses as you want, but frankly, until you start to work on the bits in between the buildings, the places where people actually meet and start sharing their resources, that's when it gets really interesting. So that's what we do, and today I'm going to be talking about how we do that and how there are some shortcuts. Planting trees is one of them.
And not just planting trees, but planting edible trees. The point is you want people to get out of their houses, into the middle of the streets and drink tea. I think that's one of your messages. What is your definition of sustainability then?
Oh, I know. I'm an old-fashioned dude. I stick to the Brundtland, you know, definition about sharing out the resources, which is all about resources for this generation and future generations. It is that principle of sharing. And sure as heck, standing in your kitchen, listening to the radio, you're not sharing anything. Out on the street, or inviting somebody into your kitchen, that's when it all happens, you know. So I think the sharing of resources, whether it is a cup of tea, or whether it's a lawnmower, or a trampoline, you know, one trampoline per street is what I'd say, not per house, or garden sheds, or public spaces, or amenities, or car clubs, or bicycle clubs, or parks, or skateboard areas, or walks in the countryside, but all of these things. You don't need to own them. It is possible to create places where these things are perfectly easily shared. And that's what we do. So we've demonstrated that. So if we can do it, I mean, I think larger governments and larger developers can do it too.
Now, you are incredibly well known in the UK and around the world for your Grand Designs programme. The tricks that you talk about, the tips that you've learned, they don't necessarily have to be expensive. I think that's one of the important messages, isn't it? I think one of your favourite houses and designs didn't cost much more than, what, $28,000 or something?
That's right. So tips include the following. If you haven't got much space, a sense of space is important. So connection with the outdoors and a connection with light. Height, tall ceilings, yeah, in rooms are great. We know in the 19th century just how elegant tall they get. Even small rooms with tall ceilings feel great, whereas small rooms with low ceilings feel cramped. And tall ceilings allow you to stick larger windows in, which means that from deep in the building you can still see the sky.
But it costs money. Where's the money going to come from? That's the problem.
Well, it doesn't cost money. Weirdly, it doesn't cost money to elevate the floor in a building. Because on the whole, what it means is you can effectively create a tall ground floor ceilings and lower first floor ceilings in the bedrooms. You can even push into the attic space, into the roof space. So, curiously, you don't need to build bigger buildings to have more space and to have greater connection. That's the first point. And I think, secondly, the sense of connection to place, the sense of space and the sense of relaxation that you can experience in a building is in proportion to the comfort you feel about where that building is. If that makes sense. So it's very important that you put in the fertile ground for some kind of social cohesion, that people want to stay in a place, because place connection, which is a very established psychological process, place identifying, place connection, is all about not just your sitting room or your bed, but it's about the street and the community you're in. So the more confident and relaxed and the more you share in that space, the more you're going to feel relaxed in your home. The larger your home will feel, in a sense, because it will not feel as though the finite walls of your building are the edge of your comfort zone.
I like the sound of this ideal. And of course, who couldn't be for more community spirit, more sharing, and more connection with the outdoors? Yeah. But, you know, you see today, you see the attacks on multilateralism, you see the kind of speech we're getting from, if you watch your TV, do you not feel you're fighting against the tide? How are you going to do this? You can't do it with housing alone, surely. But it's a good start, maybe.
It's the best place to start. And actually, yeah, in the face of the changes that we're seeing globally and culturally and in the world, it's more important to do it than ever. And we know that we fail. You know, we might put in 10 initiatives into a scheme and we expect at least 3 or 4 of them to fail. But that doesn't matter because 6 of them succeed. And people come and they stay in these places and they live and enjoy them and feel better connected and, as a result, more happy. I mean, we've been doing it long enough to know that it works, put it that way. And there's enough, I think, there's enough science behind it as well to demonstrate that not only is it necessary, but it's also successful.
We're at the Palais des Nations, which is undergoing in the process of a massive renovation. It's been here for, what, 80 years or so, 90 years. What would you suggest? How is the best way to treat this building and make it sustainable for the future? What's it doing wrong? What could it do better?
Well, it was built in an age before these issues became important. But it was built, nevertheless, out of an ideal. And it still carries that extraordinary sense of purpose. The ideal is still in every block of stone and every slice of marble and every bronze door. It's all there. And so I think if you look at any really good, sophisticated plan for sustainability, and I'm a big favourite, for example, of One Planet Living, in there are the ideas of culture and heritage. And actually, we shouldn't beat ourselves up too much about an existing building that is perhaps not as energy efficient as it could be. Yeah, I mean, there are ways that can be done with secondary glazing and more insulation and so forth. Fundamentally, the role of this building and its purpose and its emblematic power come from the quality of the spaces within it and the architectural details. You shouldn't rip them out. They're all here to stay, and they should stay. You know, it's important that going forward, we retain where we've been in order to understand what the route is. And I can't imagine that for the United Nations, you know, anything else is as important.
And just one final question. Did staying in Mumbai's Dharavi slum change your ideas about anything at all?
Yes, it changed my ideas about how many people make a community. Curiously, it's the Dunbar number. It's 150. It changed my ideas about how much we can share, which is a vast amount. And it changed my ideas about how buildings can flip and change and alter their identity over even the course of one day. And that was remarkable. It was a remarkable experience in terms of understanding how resources can be eked out.